Hello, everybody, and welcome to another I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
And never mind what we said before about not going to the Wrestling with Regret Steven Larson live taping, because we ended up going. I came into some money and I was like, the heck with it. Let's go, because we both enjoy those shows. And what did you think of that?
It was a good time. I thought it was a unique format. And I mean, not a unique format, really. I mean, people have done that before. But it's fun to see that with people that you're a fan of. So, you know, I was a fan. I'm a fan of Brian's. And, you know, you like Steven Larson. Is Steven Larson?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're pretty funny. Everybody did really good.
Yeah.
They had that Rob Fee guy on there, too. I am not familiar with him. I know his name, but I don't know him from... I don't know who he is.
I've never heard of him. And, he came on and he was like, I grew up and I went to Smoky Mountain, and that was just pretty awesome to me. I was like, hell yeah, that's fucking cool.
That's an interesting experience. Well, that's something where it's like, you know, if you were all young enough, you know, like if you're like somebody like our age, and like imagine like if we grew up in, say, like Carolina or like Florida or like Louisiana or something, you know, and if we're wrestling fans, you know, it's likely that our parents would find a way to take us to these shows.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. I don't know. I feel like by the time you and I, like, at least, you know, we were born in 1980. Yeah, you were in 80, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're both, you know, we're both the same age. I feel like by the time we would have been able to go to some of these shows, you know, we probably, you know, those territories wouldn't have been around.
Yeah.
So.
And then I got to remember, though, because we grew up where we grew up, we got to go to ECW shows.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out here who didn't get to go to ECW. So, and we kind of just take it for granted because they came to Buffalo all the time.
Yeah. I think LA, I mean, LA had a few shows.
No, LA had that one pay-per-view and that was it.
Was it really?
Yeah, that was the only time they came out here, was for that pay-per-view. Oh. That was the only time.
I thought that, I would imagine that would have happened at least a few other times.
No, even when they were like on TNN, that was the only show they ever did, was that pay-per-view out here.
Oh, how about that?
And that was it. So if you're on the West Coast and you didn't go to that pay-per-view, you didn't get a chance to see ECW live.
Yeah.
And I actually was lucky enough to go to New York City, and I went to the Hammerstein Ballroom and saw shows there.
I never did that.
Yeah, and that was like as great as the Buffalo shows were. That was like on a whole another level.
I can imagine. Yeah,
and that was the tag title tournament. They had like a one night tournament for the tag titles.
Yeah,
I went to that show.
See, I never. That was actually during a time for ECW that I wasn't following as closely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it was one. I mean, I was a big wrestling fan, but really, you know, Well, that was mostly also, too, during, like, my radio days. So I was also focusing a lot on, like, you know, school and radio and metal music and stuff. And so I was still into wrestling, and I still watched, you know, the WWE stuff on a regular basis. But I never, I know with ECW, like, it just all, like, I went to November to Remember.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, hey, I guess it's here. You want to go?
And I went to that, too. Now, do you remember... before the show started, that somebody came out, I don't know if it was Paul Heyman or it was somebody who came out and said, if you have a ratings journal, please say that you watched this, if you had a Nielsen journal.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't remember that? I distinctly remember that. I just don't remember if it was Paul Heyman or not.
I do not remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I do not. Yeah, no, I remember. Only thing I remember about that show was, so we had an engineer at WBNY. His name was Paul Smith. He was like, you know, he wasn't like a student. He was an employee of Buffalo State College, right? And so WBNY being the college radio station that I used to work at in Buffalo. And so I was there with a bunch of other BNYers that were wrestling fans and were in the audience. And all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, just before the show started, Paul Smith walks out to do something ringside or in the ring or something, you know, tech wise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody else recognizes him, but he's somebody that we work with that we see all the time. So it was, you know, it was like, oh, hey, fuck, you know, and everybody's, you know, cheering. I was like, fuck, sound guy, fuck, you know, because he's in the crowd and they're just fucking monsters. And so that I remember, because I was like, we would always joke, I was like, oh, Paul Smith got a lot of heel heat just to, you know, just by existing. But, you know, that was a big time. And I remember. Yeah, I remember that. Who else was on that show? I mean, was that 2000 or 99? I think it was 99.
I think it was,
right?
99, yeah.
Yeah, because by that time, too, like, a lot of the guys that were in the ECW were people that, like, I wasn't following on a regular basis. So, like, you know, like it had, you know, you had like Easy Money and Julio De Niro and Chris Hamrick, you know, there's all these random guys that were getting shots in ECW.
Yeah.
You know, that a lot of people that I feel like Big Mosh, our buddy Big Mosh, was like super fond of, because yeah. he would always be like, oh, you're an ECW, you know, like he, you know, but that was like the only time he was probably watching towards the end.
Yeah.
You know, he'd always be like, oh, Michael Shane, you're an ECW. He's like, you know, gives a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, those, you have like, those are the guys that like, and I feel bad for a lot of those guys because they were like in the middle of this transition where like they were a part of something, but then they really weren't like a part of like the next phase.
Yeah.
And they kind of get like excluded.
I pretty much stopped watching once they went to TNN.
Yeah, same for me.
Yeah, that's pretty much like when the Dudley Boys left and Raven came back, I kind of lost interest.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention to the news.
Yeah.
Because I was paying attention to the scuttlebutt and all that stuff and whatever. And but I just feel like my time was being directed more elsewhere.
Yeah, mine too.
So
I'd watch Raw every night or every Monday, and that was about it.
Yeah, yeah, I think that during that time, like, I pretty much was just like, I'm gonna watch Raw as much as I possibly can, and if I can catch Nitro, I'll put on Nitro, and I'll not watch ECW.
Yeah.
You know, I just won't, and I won't watch anything else because I'm, you know, I'm in college and I'm, I'm trying to figure my shit out. So yeah. That was kind of how it was. But yeah, no, I remember that was... How did we get on this?
Well, because I mentioned that guy went to Smoky Mountain.
He did. He did, yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty... that was a good... Anyways, that was a good show. You know, it's nice to have it, a Meltdown. Meltdown, I mean, the room is nice.
Yeah, the room's cool.
I've been there a bunch. I mean, it's... They've made... Yeah, it's their own.
So. Yeah, and it was... you know, the crowd, it wasn't big, but I mean, the people who were there were really into it, which was really cool. I got to meet Ulysses, which was actually, you probably, because you don't really follow Steven Larson as much as I do.
So
Ulysses is like a reoccurring character on their WWE 2K17 create a wrestler show.
Uh-huh.
So they there's a wrestler based on the guy who was sitting in the front row next to us.
Yeah.
And they killed him on the show, and then they brought him back to life, and he's undead Ulysses on the show. So then, like, I got to meet him. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that Ulysses was a real guy. Like, I heard them mention, oh, Ulysses is here before, but I thought that was just a nickname. But that's his actual name, is Ulysses.
Yeah.
And so that was cool.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so I got to meet him, and I think it was, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or whatever, but the girl who was sitting next to him ended up taking a photo of me with Steven Larson. So, yeah,
very exciting.
She had her arm in a sling. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. I saw him talking to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a good time, you know, and yeah, no, more people should support shows like that.
Yeah.
Know? Just fun. Just fun wrestling stuff, man. You got to check it out.
Yeah.
I guess let's take a break right now. Do you have anything else you wanted to say or?
No, that's about it. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We got another issue of TV Wrestlers to talk about.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents. And we're very uninformed, so...
Oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
Okay, we're back. We've got TV Wrestlers from August 1990.
That's right.
And cover is just a big photo of the Big Boss Man.
It's a really big photo. Like, it's just basically they just went, let's zoom in and not have good resolution on this photo.
Yeah.
Of Big Boss Man with his mouth open.
And poor lighting, because we're not going to take a flash into a house show is basically what it looks like.
Well, these guys don't get the press, I don't think. I think these guys don't have the credentials that the actors of the world do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that's what we're doing here. And he's basically, you know, since Boss Man's on the cover, it's Boss Man to Warrior. I want the belt, punk.
So it's still a heel Boss Man.
Still, okay, so this is, well, this is April, August 90. Boss Man wasn't face until, well, hang on. Because this is confusing, because so Boss Man was pretty much a face,
yeah,
by WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And Warrior won the belt at WrestleMania. So how, I don't know. This is not a good kayfabe article.
No.
I read it, but mm-hmm. I didn't really absorb it. But just the timeline itself. See, this is why we do this show.
Yeah, because Boss Man was in a feud with Akeem at this time at WrestleMania. Well, he had his match with Akeem.
Right, and then after that, he moved over to, it was Rude, and then mm-hmm. he started going on with the Heenans, right?
Yeah.
Heenan family.
Because they were making fun of his mother.
Right.
Because his mother would die to protect him. I remember that.
I remember I was watching WWF at the time, obviously, but I don't remember a lot of, like, the buildup. Like, I just kind of, like, a lot of times I'll just look at the pay-per-views and be like, okay, that was a feud happening.
Yeah.
This was a feud happening. But I don't know
a lot of the buildup. So that was the whole buildup, was, like, they were making fun of his mother. And so then Rick Rude left the WWF, so they Jack Tunney suspended him for making fun of his mother and said, if anyone else makes fun of his mother, they will be suspended. So then Bobby Heenan had Haku cut a promo in his native tongue about Boss Man's mother.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a whole thing was going on about Boss Man's mother. That was the whole storyline. And, like, she never appeared on TV or anything. They were just making fun of her, like making fun of his mother.
Yeah.
And that was the whole feud. So
that's funny.
And then later on, Boss Man would turn heel and
make fun of Big Show's father.
Yeah, Big Show's father. So it all came full circle.
Yeah.
But Big Show's father was dead, and Boss Man's mother was alive and well, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for that.
I remember there was, like, an article in one of the WWF magazines while this was going on about the Big Boss Man having a conversation with his mother, and his mother was just so upset with all the hateful things that Bobby Heenan would say about her. And I was,
you would just call him Barty Fife, though.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty much, I feel like that was, I mean, unless if, I'd have to go back and, like, watch all the stuff leading up to it, like all mm-hmm. the superstars and challenges that lead up to this, because I don't feel like I can really appreciate what's being, you know, what about the feud, you know, just being like, oh, okay, now he's wrestling this guy.
Yeah.
Because summer of 90, so WrestleMania, right, he wrestled Akeem, and mm-hmm. so then summer of 90 came around, and he was just just a corner man for Hogan.
Yeah, they had nothing else going on with him, because Tugboat
and then,
was supposed to be the corner man, then he got injured by the hands of Earthquake.
Right, and then what was it, Survivor Series, there was probably a match, a Heenan-centric match, probably, I don't know.
I think it was Hogan, Boss Man, and I don't know.
Okay, well, because...
it was Hogan and Boss Man, and I think a couple other people on one side, and then on the other side, it was Earthquake, Dino Bravo. I think Haku was in there.
Maybe Barbarian?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Because I know that Heenan... I know that the match, I definitely know... One of the few, I know a bunch of their matches. There was Henning and Demolition against...
Oh, the Warriors.
Warrior, LOD, and Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah, all four Warriors. You had the Ultimate Warrior, the Modern Day Warrior, and the Road Warriors.
Right, you did. Actually,
even they didn't bill it as that, but no, that's what it was.
That's a missed opportunity there. And then there was obviously the Undertaker debut match.
Yeah.
And then there was the Visionaries versus the Vipers.
Yeah.
That was a thing going on. So I'm trying to think if
Yeah,
I don't know how that kind of was just like a gestating feud, because then eventually into 91, so he was taking down all the Heenan members, because he wrestled Barbarian at the Rumble,
mm-hmm.
and then he wrestled Mr. Perfect at
WrestleMania,
and that was pretty much it.
Yeah,
so
that was the end of it, because Bossman wrestled Mr. Perfect. Andre came to the ring, right?
Yep.
If I remember correctly,
Andre was there,
on crutches, and. Yeah, so, but that's the extent of the, go back and look at the videos of the Boss Man Heenan family feud, and if you want to see some good mother promos. Yeah.
So what else we have out here? Bloodiest match of the year, Flair and Luger in a cage. Yeah, that's
exclusive picks.
Yeah, no,
exclamation point.
Picks with an X.
With an X.
And then at the corner, they have, you know, some other, they have their other things they're doing in here. Boob tube brawls, video blood, TV results. I like video blood. That's a good name for things. Great color pinups, including great color Midnight Express centerfold.
Is it in there? I don't
know. It isn't.
Okay, good. Sometimes the centerfolds get ripped out when I get the magazines. So
new NWA champs, Doom steals Steiner's straps. Also, the serious side of Hillbilly Jim.
I didn't know he had a serious side, so it's good that he has one.
And if you're talking, look, and we'll talk. Well, maybe we'll get to this a little bit, but if you're talking about Hillbilly Jim in 1990. You're not doing wrestling journalism right.
No.
Because Bill After, the After mags ain't talking about it. Not even WWF magazine's talking about Hillbilly Jim.
No, they're not. He was probably more, yeah, he was still wrestling on occasion, but by 1990, he was probably transitioning to his backstage role.
Hillbilly Jim pretty much was only relevant for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And that was it. But yet, for some reason, everybody like remembers him as like, you know, he's still like, it's, he was still like a big deal.
Yeah. And he wasn't.
He really wasn't. I mean, granted, he came around at the time where everybody was like, hey, bunch of characters.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you have a hillbilly character. And he pretty much was the prototype for that. And yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. So we start right off with the boob tube brawls.
And you have a guy just covered in blood laying on the, who is that? Carol somebody?
Carol Kovanek. Oh, no, that's the photographer. The wrestler is Steven DeLeon.
Oh.
So it's a California match.
Steven DeLeon covered in blood. And he's got a mullet and is just blood all over.
He looks like a young Eddie Guerrero covered in blood.
I thought he looked like a 1-2-3 kid.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And he's and the thing is, it's in California. So I'm assuming it's out here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on like a red mat. I kind of like this mat. I want to see this whole ring.
So is the mat red, or do you think it's just the lighting effect?
No, I think the mat is red.
Oh.
I think the mat is red. Maybe there's some red lighting, but it doesn't look like a red light per se, because then his whole body would be red. I mean, yeah. And granted, it's hard to tell because he's covered in blood.
Yeah.
And also, somebody might have touched up the saturation on this a bit.
I think it's a little touch-up spotlight, because you see the blood stains, and they're not red, so I don't know.
Right. And yeah, but there's, like, blue ropes. Yeah, it just looks a weird situation here.
Yeah. I like it, though.
And you got a Puerto Rico bloody thing. It looks like, what is it, Carlos Colon?
Yeah, that's definitely Carlos Colon. I can't tell who he's... It kind of looks like Dory Funk Jr.
I don't know, but that guy's bleeding as fuck. But it has nothing... Yeah. But really, so the guy that's writing this is... it's Mad Mac or McIntyre Sims.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of, he's shooting. He's dishing on things, you know, he's just very honest here. And he's like, why don't they have matches where the ropes are on fire? Like they go down in Puerto Rico. Now that would bring up wrestling ratings. You listen to me, Ted and Vince, Fritz. What is it?
Fritz? Fritz is still a character? He's still around?
I think he's a little bit late for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also one of those ones where personal message to NWA television commentary, Missy Hyatt. Sorry, Missy, not in this lifetime. Yeah, you tell him.
Yeah.
And he talks about Buzz Sawyer breaking his wrist in a match, which I did see. I think it's on Wrestle War when he's fighting the dudes. And he does a splash and he lands on his wrist and you see it break. And it's fucking awful. And that pretty much it sucks because, you know, Buzz Sawyer is awesome.
Yeah.
And he didn't stick around much longer after getting better. But yeah, we got more bloody photos of guys with mullets.
So this guy, they're breaking kayfabe with the caption because they say, this is boy gone bad juicing. So they use the word juicing.
I don't know if juicing, like it's more of like, they don't say he cut his head.
Yeah.
You know, they could have said blading, I guess. But this is. This guy should be in our tournament.
This guy is pretty awesome looking. I'm going to take a photo of him. He's got a mullet, a mustache, zebra spread.
He's got two-tone mullet, by the way.
Yeah.
It's two-tone.
Yeah, it's definitely bleached and highlighted at the top. His mustache is pretty awesome. That belt is something to look at.
That belt looks like... I think it is... This belt is smaller than the WWF women's title. Because you ever see like that belt, the one that Medusa threw in the garbage? Like it's tiny.
Yeah.
But that looks small. Actually, it looks like the belt that Mulu used to carry around with her picture on it.
And like, okay, so like a belt would normally have like the globe or something. I don't know what that is.
It's two guys wrestling.
Is it two guys wrestling?
But it looks like a drumstick.
Yeah.
It looks like a piece of chicken.
He's the KFC champion.
Hey.
Is what he is.
Hey, you take it where you can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some more bloodiness. You know, you got the just random pictures of dudes bleeding. You know, you got some Chicky Star out of Puerto Rico.
That is something we are going to have in the game, I think. The drumstick championship.
You know, I like that. You can make that, too. That's easy to make. Because the belts are... are you writing this down?
Writing it down. Because yeah. In the... it's going to go right under the Cream Team and Ed the Razor.
Do you want to write down Bad Boy Gone?
Yeah.
Is that another one we're here? The drumstick champion? So, yeah, we got our mailbag. We got people being like, I like this letter here. Dear TV wrestlers, hey, man, more wrestling, less soap opera. Ricochet, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, Ricochet.
And the editors say, we hear you, man. That's right. And also, like, they're like, Kevin Sullivan sucks. And they put, like, a picture of, like, Kevin Sullivan from, like, 1975.
Yeah.
It's the oldest picture of Kevin Sullivan.
Kevin Sullivan has a, it looks like a bandana for wrestling trunks. Like, that's a bandana pattern.
Yeah. And he's also ripped. This is back when he was very ripped.
Oh, my God.
Ripped.
Yeah. He's like chiseled out of marble. Like, look at this guy.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Kevin Sullivan used to be jacked. He kept his thighs, though. His thighs are always gigantic, but he pretty much just became, like... Like a fire plug.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's our ratings. And the ratings are one of these ones where they just have, like, a gigantic, like, just, it's just huge, you know? Like, because they, and they don't really have any rhyme or reason to them because they just start with the most popular. And they have a picture of Sting's the most popular. And I love this picture of Sting wearing, like the most 90s striped shirt ever.
Yeah, it's, like, pink and gray. And he doesn't have any face paint on. He's just got a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
And he's got his mouth open. It's like they took him, like he was like talking or something to somebody, and they just snapped a quick photo of him. Like, oh, let's put that in the magazine.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's, for some reason, he's like standing in the high school or something. It's just like a picture of a football team. I don't know.
Yeah, something's going on.
Something's going on here. I mean, and then we jump right to the World Wrestling Council.
Yeah, like they don't even have, like they have Sting most popular as World Wrestling Council, Caribbean champion Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we gotta talk about the World Wrestling Council before we get
to most hated, even. Yeah.
Yeah, we get to most hated, you know, and you've got your tag teams. I mean, there's nothing really that stands out here. I mean, you look at your top 20 here: Hogan, Luger, Sting, Savage, Pillman, Earthquake, Mr. Perfect, Rick Rude, Brutus Beefcake, Ted DiBiase, Rick Martel, Dusty Rhodes, Scott Steiner, Arn Anderson, Hacksaw, Rick Steiner, Larry Zbysko. Oh, Rick Martel's on your... Did I... Oh, Rick Martel's on your twice.
Oh, that's how good he is.
Wow.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah.
He is... Rick Martel is so good, he took up two spots on this top 20.
I don't see the Ultimate Warrior on there, but Rick Martel's on there twice. So
yeah.
There you go.
Fuck the Warrior. Rick Martel, you get two spots. Followed by Tugboat and Tony Atlas.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's... Man... Look, and wait till you get to next week's issue, because you think this is bad?
Yeah.
Wait till you get to next week's issue.
Oh, okay.
Because this is the thing about wrestling magazines, man. If you're not an aftermag, I have to say this, and I'm sorry, Stately Main Manor, but like, where's your editors?
Yeah.
Where is your editors?
Yeah.
If you are hardcore wrestling fans and wrestling people producing a magazine of this, you know, it's color. You know,
why'd you apologize to Stately Wayne Manor, though?
He's one of the guys.
But he had nothing to do with this.
I'm just saying overall, but he had nothing to do with this one.
Yeah.
You're clear of this one. You're on this one, but I'm certain maybe if I come across one of your books and we point something out. Actually, I think this is before his time.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think he was doing it, but Wrestling World is a better magazine than this. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wrestling
World's still my favorite one of the non-afters. It's still my favorite magazine. So
Yeah, well, we'll have to get to more of those.
Yeah,
I
got more coming. That's for sure.
I like Universal Wrestling Superstars because this is just like a Northeast magazine. You have to talk about the Northeast promotions.
Yeah,
you know, the Indies one because you're not really following the other stuff. But David Sammartino and Ivan Koloff and Sexy Sonny Beach and Kamala, Larry Zbysko and.
I always liked it when they put Giant Kamala in the in there. That's how they have him build this giant Kamala. Like, just so you know, he's not, like, you don't want to confuse him with regular size Kamala. It's giant Kamala they're referring to. So
I also do like, they have like a lot of random, they have like at least three independent promotions that they're just like unaffiliated because they want to talk about the wrestlers that aren't doing anything right
now.
You know, they're not with the big ones, but they feel that they need to be covered.
Yeah.
So the top non-affiliated wrestlers who are not under contract to any specific group, you got Kamala, Abdul the Butcher, Ivan Koloff, Ricky Steamboat, Iron Mike Sharp. Wasn't Iron Mike Sharp always with WWF?
Yeah, he was a jobber.
He was just a jobber, though. Yeah. Well, he's got to make money somewhere. Afa, Sonny Beach, David Sammartino, Nikita Koloff, and Manny Fernandez. The indies are on the roll.
Yeah.
TV flashback, they have a thing about Kangaroo Al Costello. I do not care.
Yeah, I don't care about
it. However, though, I do want to point out this great photo of Bobby Heenan.
Oh, covered in blood?
Who was covered in blood. Looks like he got his suit fucked up. He was wearing a suit, and he got fucked up. He's dressed like doing the Sipowitz, and all these wrestlers are around him, and they're just looking at him. And it's funny because they're all like kind of dressed in like darker tones, and Bobby's wearing the white shirt, and Bobby's, you know, blonde. So like, you know, everything stands out when he bleeds, and it looks like a horror movie.
Yeah,
it is horrifying. And all right, first of all, R.I.P. Bobby Heenan.
Yeah,
we haven't done a show since his passing.
Yeah,
so R.I.P. Bobby Heenan, you were the greatest. And this is a picture by itself that shows you, I don't know, just something about like how well that stands out, you know. I mean, that's like, that's a wrestling photo, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like people wrestle, but I'm talking like, I mean, there has to be like a book of just nothing like photos like this, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty intense photo. I would love to see it in color, but
and wrestlers don't bleed like that.
No,
like Bobby sure was doing like a hemophiliac.
This photo was taken in 1971 in Detroit's Cobo Hall.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just talking about it. It's just mostly talking about the guys.
Yeah.
The boomerangs, the kangaroos. We get a review of Halloween Havoc in 89.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about videos. This is the video blood segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of dishing through all the matches and stuff like that, which, you know, you can go watch that on the network. I'm not really going to talk about it. But Capital Combat. Talking about Capital Combat here. Here's your poster.
Oh, look at that.
Here's your Midnight Express poster.
So if you're a kid and you're like, you know what? I can't wait to get this centerfold of Midnight Express. It's going to be awesome. And then you open this centerfold and you'd think it'd be like a promo photo of them. But no, they're just like. You have Stan Lane is the only one looking at the camera posing with the belt. Jim Cornette and Bobby Eaton are looking down.
Because I think they're in the middle of Cornette looks like he's in the middle of cutting a promo.
Yeah.
You know, while they're taking photos, like he's probably just jaw jacking and shit, and Bobby just looks like,
yeah,
you know.
But Stan Lane is over there posing. He's like, yeah, take my photo, and he's grinning from ear to ear, and that's why he's going to be the champion in our game.
Oh yeah, that's right. And shout out to the U.S. tag belts.
Yeah, the U.S. tag belts.
That's a nice looking belt.
Yeah, I miss those belts.
I think we need to get those and we need to make those. I need to keep this around.
Yeah,
because I like that. I'd like to have that around. Yeah, we just have some photos from Capital Combat and whatever. I mean, I'm not really.
Yeah.
You know, again, go watch that.
Doom won the belts.
Doom won the belt. Yeah, did Doom?
I think so, because there's a photo of them posing with the belts.
Okay, so. That's right. I'm trying to think, because they. What was the event where they lost and they had to unmask?
Oh, I don't even know.
I can't.
They were already unmasked by this.
Yeah, they're already unmasked by then. So that was pretty much like what put them over the top. So then we got some bloody pictures of Flair, or bloody picture of Flair. Flair, again, like Bobby Heenan, one of the best bleeders in the business.
Yeah, and they said it was the bloodiest match ever, yet that's the only bloody photo they show.
Yeah. Well, Luger can't bleed.
No.
Luger can't bleed to save his life. So finally, the serious side of Hillbilly Jim. He wants a belt bad. Well, just go buy one.
Yeah, go buy one.
They'll be stopping you. You don't even need belt. You wear you wear overalls.
Yeah, and you have your horseshoe.
It does. That's
which is better than a belt.
It is. Yeah, and it's just basically like talking about Bobby. You're just talking about it. This is way too much to talk about. Hillbilly Jim.
There's a quote next to it, it says, even with a few years of experience under his belt, Jim still possesses a tremendous amount of untapped potential, says Brutus Beefcake.
Right.
So Brutus Beefcake is very high on Hillbilly Jim.
Brutus Beefcake, didn't he break his leg in a match with Brutus Beefcake because he was chasing Johnny Valiant around the ring?
Is that who it was?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in 1985, which pretty much derailed him.
Yeah.
Like, he was gone for like a year, so he missed like... He would have been on probably on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He probably would have been on WrestleMania facing somebody, and everybody would have been like, oh, Hillbilly Jim, you won WrestleMania. That was great, you know?
Yeah, because like Cousin Luke and Uncle Elmer were in WrestleMania.
No, not that, not the first WrestleMania.
Oh. Yeah, WrestleMania 2.
No, it was been WrestleMania 1. I think he hurt himself before WrestleMania 1.
Oh, okay.
Because he wasn't even on the card.
Oh, like, yeah,
he,
no,
even
he there, wasn't.
Like, he wasn't even in the corner for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why they had Snuka there.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, I'm just spitballing.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me why Snuka was there. I don't remember the stories. I wasn't watching.
Well, I mean, obviously he had heat against Piper, you know. And
did he?
And
oh, from line. The oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
Piper
that was still
the coconut on.
Yeah, that was still residual, but
yeah,
tough break for Hillbilly Jim. But he still, again, he still gets remembered as like, oh man, you were a legend. I'm like, you had like three matches.
Yeah, he wasn't a legend.
You had like three matches and nobody knew. You weren't like anything before you came to the WWF.
Was he even on a Survivor Series card? I can't remember him.
He was. He was on.
Was he in the first one? Where
no.
No.
89, I think it was.
Okay.
It was. He was on the team with Hulk and Coco Beware. And I think it was the one where they went against Zeus and DiBiase, I think.
No, that was Hulk Hogan, Jake Roberts, and Demolition against Zeus, DiBiase, and the Powers of Pain.
No, it was Haku.
Was it Haku?
It was Haku, and I think somebody else. I think, yeah, no. I kind of want to look this up now.
Yeah.
My phone's on airplane mode. Fuck.
Damn it. Why can't we take it out of airplane mode?
I don't know. No, because I was bothering me. No, he was definitely... No, maybe it was 88.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 88 because it was... Because Terry Taylor was on the... Terry Taylor just started... In the WWF, and he was on the opposing team because it was a Heenan team.
Yeah.
It was a Heenan. It was like Andre, Heenan, Andre, Terry Taylor, Haku.
Was he on
and the Brainbusters.
Okay.
Or no, but no, it was a Brainbusters. Yeah. No, Brainbusters were in the tag match.
Was he on the team that consisted of Jake Roberts?
No.
Where Andre choked Jake Roberts in the corner to get disqualified?
He was in all the Battle Royals.
Yeah.
Most of the tag.
Not the Andre the Giant Invitational ones, but there was three Battle Royals in WrestleMania history prior to the Andre the Giant Invitational ones.
No, there's more than that.
There's more than three?
There was the Tag Team Battle Royal in, I think, WrestleMania 14. Remember that? With all the tag teams?
Oh, yeah. Okay, he wasn't in that one.
He wasn't in that.
But he was in the singles Battle Royals.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was in the WrestleMania 2 Battle Royal, he was in the WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal, and he was in the WrestleMania 17 Gimmick Battle Royal,
yeah.
And he was in Survivor Series 88, where he was on the team with Hogan, Savage, Coco, and Hercules against DiBiase, Akeem,
Bossman,
Aku, and Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So that was, I'm glad we do that. But that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep. That's all the pay-per-views he was in, so... Thought I turned my thing in airplane mode. But yeah, he's hardly a legend, as far as I'm concerned.
Hardly a legend, but they're like, oh, he should go against all these people and stuff. And, you know, he did come back when he was back wrestling around that time. He was against, like, he would fight against Honky Tonk and just, like, but he would job most of the time, you know, because, you know, you're not, unless you're not pushing him, like, mm-hmm. He wrestled, like, Rick Rude, which that's a weird match. That's a weird match.
I can't even remember like a show like where he was jobbing to Honky Tonk Man or somebody.
It was like on like he was on it was like on like Superstars or Challenge or something like that. Like he did a few of those matches, but it was very like fleeting. So here's something that I feel like I wish it was on network. The wrestling WCW wrestlers appearing on Family Feud.
Yeah, so okay, they have a photo of them on Family Feud, but rather than like a photo of them like on Family Feud,
well,
they have
one.
Yeah, but they have a photo of somebody like taking a photo of their television screen.
Yes.
And then they blew it up. And then they have just regular wrestling photos.
Yeah, because they couldn't get access here.
Yeah.
I do want to point out Sting in this one picture is wearing his I want to say it's teal or light blue and orange.
Yeah.
Stinger outfit. I think it's a good look.
Yeah,
I like that color scheme. That's a favorite of mine. But yeah, no, they're just talking about the wrestlers because it was them against Glow. And I mean, nobody really talks about it, probably because it wasn't that, it wasn't bad, well, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, and probably because they were against Glow.
It wasn't good, yeah. And
nobody really considers Glow wrestling. And, no. I mean, I guess it wasn't, but it was what it was. And I'll just leave it at that. I have nothing positive or negative to say about Glow. It is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're talking about here, this Boss Man article, they're talking about how he's kind of a face here. I do want to point out, they have a picture of Big Bubba Rogers, and the caption is just, "The Boss Man Incognito."
Yeah.
I see what you did there, wrestling world, wrestling TV wrestlers.
Yeah.
Good job.
It's like, we don't have enough photos of him. Let's just throw the Big Bubba Rogers photo up there. And because he's got a full beard in that, but he never had a full beard in this run of the Big Boss Man.
No, he never had the Bubba Rogers look.
Yeah.
He didn't get the full beard back until he went back to WCW.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now we're kind of just talking about...
He didn't even get the full beard back until he was like Biker Big Bubba Rogers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He just all of a sudden one day was like, "I'm a biker now."
Yeah, and they're like, "Okay, that's cool."
He's like, "I don't want to wear a suit anymore. I don't want to wear a shirt to wrestling. I just want to wear just a sleeveless shirt and some leather pants."
And everyone was like, "Yeah, we don't blame you. That's cool."
And although wearing leather pants to wrestle can't be very comfortable.
I can't imagine it is. I wouldn't want to wear them ever, so let alone to wrestle.
I'd like to try it on, just see how it works.
I had like a fake pair of pleather pants in the 90s that I used to wear to the Continental.
Do you used to go to the Continental?
Yeah, once in a while I'd go to the Continental. Yeah, and that's about it.
I used to miss the Continental.
Continental was a lot of fun.
I wish
R.I.P. still, Continental.
Yeah, I wish yeah. my I wish it was still around because.
Oh yeah, Jen would love the Continental.
Oh, I've told Jen my wife's stories. Oh yeah, she's a goth.
Yeah.
An adult goth, and she loves that kind of stuff. And if she was, yeah, if the Continental's still around, she would be all about it.
Yeah, I remember the one time I went, there was this really, really obese man wearing a purple dress just dancing in the corner.
Sounds all right.
And I was like, yes, this is my place.
I've seen plenty of metal shows there.
Yeah.
That's where you go to see the weird music.
And they had a midget bartender.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. That's right. that guy was, they had some characters there.
Yeah.
That was a place. R.I.P. Continental. And yeah. Buffalo, New York, by the way. We're just like talking about some random place.
Yeah.
But, which is funny, by the way, real quick. So I started listening to a podcast called Kickin' Ass with Andy and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hosted by Andy Williams of Every Time I Die. And Jesse, I forgot what his last name is, but he's Braxton Sutter on TNA.
Mm-hmm.
But he's Pepper Parks.
Okay.
And he's from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize.
I've met him. I don't know how many times I met. The one time I distinctly remember drinking with him and Troy, the boy, PJ, at that place in Tonawanda. I can't remember the name of it. The one place everyone likes to go to. But I've met him. So
yeah. No, he's married to, I think it's Allie, who's in TNA. So they're married and they live in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Andy Williams, who is from North Tonawanda. And it's funny because they pretty much just do their podcast and just talk about being from Buffalo, North Tonawanda, like a lot of stuff that if you were to pay attention, if you were to listen to it, you'd be like, oh, I kind of know that. Like,
yeah.
They've mentioned Mississippi Muds, you know, they've mentioned, you know, a lot of things. Now, granted, I didn't grow up in North Tonawanda. I grew up in Cheektowaga.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, so there's a lot of stuff that is still foreign to me, but at the same time, I appreciate it. But that's why.
You never went to Mississippi Muds or Old Man River?
No.
Oh, over in Nyawanda Park on the river? No.
Well, I had no reason, because my friends and I, we never, you know, we were all Cheektowaga people.
I just thought, like, you know, when you were a kid, maybe your parents took you there.
Oh, my parents never went there. Oh, that far. We never went that far up.
Wow.
We probably only went to African Lion Safari a few times.
I never even got to do that. So
I think we did that once.
Yeah, you're lucky.
We did that once. You know, we obviously went to Fantasy Island a few times.
Yeah, Fantasy Island. I used to go all the time. African Lion Safari. That would have been cool.
Marineland,
we did that once.
Yeah, I think I remember going to Marineland. Probably for school, too. Like a high school, like a grade school thing. To be like, we're taking Marineland.
Yeah. Oh, man. African Lion Safari. I wonder if it's still there.
No. Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah, it's 2017. Is all this stuff still around?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Is Marineland even still there?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing any commercials for it.
What, like now or just...
Like when I was visiting.
Oh. No, yeah. I don't know, man. It's a good thing. If you guys are listening to the show and you can help us out.
Chime in and let us know if Marine Land is there or African Lion Safari.
This has nothing to do with wrestling.
Yeah. So, anyways. Just for curiosity's sakes.
Big Boss Man. I like this picture because it's a picture. It's probably a picture from when the Big Boss Man first showed up.
Yeah.
He was like all fat and stuff. Actually, all these pictures from when he's all fat.
And he's wrestling Coco Beware, but like Coco Beware has like regular hair. By this time, he's already dyeing his hair and all that. So
I thought this was, this has to be from like SummerSlam or something from 88 when they wrestled.
Oh, yeah.
And like, actually, but for a second, I saw this and I was like, is that like Junkyard Dog? Like when the hell did they wrestle?
Yeah.
But it's not. But they say this match above, the agile Boss Man against the towering Warlord should prove to be a true Clash of Titans. I don't remember that.
He's wrestling the Warlord in this photo, not Coco Beware.
No, because then underneath it, the actual caption says, the Boss Man is about to unleash his fury on Coco Beware.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very confusing thing here. And then we just have a lot of pictures of Fat Boss Man. Because the thing, he was pretty big when he first got in. And then around the 90 and stuff like that, like he slimmed down.
Yeah.
He got himself lean and everything like that, that turned out to be pretty good for him. So, TV results. Oh, actually, I want to point out this ad here. It's like an ad. So it's like a public message from the Ad Council from the Henry J. Kaiser Family Foundation, but the Ad Council, and it's telling you how to eat lean.
Yeah.
Says when fried foods are part of a high fat diet, they may increase your risk of heart disease and certain cancers. For a free booklet, blah blah blah. But the picture is just like, it's a black and white photo. And it's just like a cast iron skillet. And in the skillet, it just says, every year, thousands of people are killed with a frying pan. It's a very, you know what? Back in the 90s, they didn't fuck around.
No.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do also like, too, that I like how TV wrestlers is like, you know what? We need to fill spaces. Let's put some Sergio Argonne's cartoons of wrestlers fighting in our corners here. Which they're not even jokes. I don't think these are jokes. They're just pictures of wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like big, beefy guys. TV results. I mean, nothing really to talk about here, I guess. I do like that they're like, we got to talk about the Power Hour. But they actually give you like how people beat each other sometimes, which I kind of like.
You got a nice little photo of Mike Rotundo against Cactus Jack. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, Cactus Jack Manson. This is back when he was Manson. And then you have
was that when Cactus Jack was just a jobber and then like he'd be in a tag team? And then, he'd beat his partner up after the match. Yeah,
pretty much.
That's pretty fun. That was a fun time.
That was his big break.
Yeah.
So yeah, but then you get to hear about all these matches. I mean, I'm not really missing anything here. And then we get a nice picture of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew 2.
Oh.
Which is the Beverly Brothers under hoods.
Yeah.
And Sunny Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Seashell.
Yeah.
Seashell.
Very skinny Seashell.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Sunny Beach pulling it down.
Yeah.
And then, here's another picture of that bloody cage match they promised. Where Flair is bleeding.
Flair's bleeding, but Luger is not.
Look at that cage, though. I don't remember. I always thought the NWA cages were...
Yeah, they had like the wire cage.
The wire cages. This looks like a Thunderdome cage.
Yeah.
Which I like, because it looks pretty good. But that's it!
Yeah.
We're done.
Exclusive picks.
Those were exclusive picks.
Yeah.
That was an exclusive pick.
Yeah.
That is TV Wrestlers, August 1990. That's it for our show. Thanks for listening. Yeah. You can find us on Facebook, I Could Talk Kayfabe.
Yeah. Like the page. We post stuff on it.
Like the page. And then also, what?
I'm just like, we post stuff on it.
We do post stuff on it.
Yeah, we do.
Joe takes pictures, we post it on it when we remember. And Joe does a good job with that.
And I'll find articles I find interesting once in a while, and I'll post those.
And people engage. Yeah. We should probably be more cognizant about people engaging on our...
Yeah, probably.
Like that, so...
Yeah.
You should have that be a thing.
We're also on Twitter and Instagram, Sweatpants Joe for both of those.
And Angry Hero Sean for both of those.
And subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars. It really helps grow the show.
Find us everywhere you can find us. And thanks for listening.